Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Tuesday, August 26th. I'm Abby Larico. A St. Louis couple is trying to rebuild their lives and their mission of supporting young people in the city after the May 16th tornado.
It's one thing to survive the tornado, but the rebuilding of it, if you have the audacity to not give up and stay, that is even more challenging.
STLPR's Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson with how and why they're working so hard to overcome those challenges, coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis County is investigating the cause of an explosion that shook North County yesterday morning. The explosion happened on Evan Air Drive near Blackjack. It destroyed five homes and sent several people to the hospital. About 20 homes are damaged. Gas and power has been shut off for about 30 homes in the blocks nearby. Richard Lang lives close, and his home suffered some damage. He says the explosion was extremely loud.
I actually thought somebody ran into the house. That's what I was thinking, a car or a truck or something. It was just, I've never heard anything that loud before.
Residents report seeing Spire Energy crews all over the neighborhood. A Spire spokesperson says the company has not found any problems with its infrastructure. Paul Peebles is the Blackjack Fire Protection District Chief.
We'll allow bomb and arson to continue their investigation, but we're going to be working on making sure our residents have a safe shelter, food to eat, and toiletries, the things that they need. That is our concern.
No fatalities are reported as of Monday evening. The St. Louis Red Cross has opened a shelter at St. Angela Merici Church nearby. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer is asking for an extension to an impending deadline for FEMA assistance applications following the May 16th tornado. She says hundreds of applications are still being submitted. STLPR's Kayvon Mansouri has more.
Spencer and the Board of Aldermen requested a 30-day extension to give more people an opportunity to apply for the funds. Today is the last day to apply. In a statement, Spencer says people need more time. Ward 10 Alderwoman Shamim Clark Hubbard says an extension would give people in her ward a better chance for aid.
Trying to meet people where they are with their needs and have real, sometimes tough conversations about the resources that either I can connect them with to fill in the gaps, or we can connect them with federally and at the state level to fill in the gaps.
The mayor's office did not immediately respond to a request for comment on the status of the request. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
Again, we'll have one look at what it can be like to apply for that FEMA assistance coming up in just a few minutes in Marissa Ann's story. The teachers union that represents about 2,000 staff members in St. Louis public schools has delivered a petition of no confidence in Superintendent Millicent Borishade. The union spokesperson, Byron Clemens, says the petition is in response to the timing of a report released last month that proposed closing 37 schools in the district.
Really kind of odd for us to talk about closing schools instead of opening schools. How do we come back to school, especially after the trauma of the tornado?
Borishade says she's made no final decisions about closures. The consolidation of the district would likely lead to layoffs. The school board has thrown its support behind the superintendent, who has been in the top job for 1 year. The union representing more than 3,000 machinists in the St. Louis area says no progress was made yesterday during a return to contract negotiations with Boeing. STLPR's Olivia Mizell went to the picket line to learn what union members are thinking.
Spirits remain high on the picket line in front of Boeing's Berkeley location as IAM 837 strike begins its fourth week. Michael Bergen, a toolmaker for Boeing, says he has confidence that the union and the company will come to an agreement.
Come to terms in something that we can both live with, and yeah, I'm very confident.
He says some of the union's main requests are to bring back a sign-on bonus for employees and remove a pay cap for the highest paid workers. Other union members on strike say they are not as confident in Boeing's willingness to negotiate and agree to the union's requests. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois Democrats are condemning President Donald Trump's efforts to end the state's cashless bail pretrial system. Trump signed an executive order yesterday directing the federal government to revoke funds from places that have eliminated cash bond. The old system required defendants to pay their way out of jail while they awaited trial. Illinois became the first state to abolish that system in the fall of 2023. State Representative Justin Slaughter of Chicago led the effort through Springfield.
Major achievements like pretrial fairness and what we've done by ending cash bail are actually having a positive and productive impact on our community.
Criminal justice reform advocates say the old system discriminated against low-income and minority defendants. Sexual assault survivors will soon be able to receive forensic exams at any Missouri hospital as part of a recently launched telehealth network. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports specially trained nurses perform these exams to provide care and collect evidence after a sexual assault.
Evidence collected during the exams is sometimes called a rape kit, but not every hospital has examiners on staff 24/7. The telehealth network will mean exams are available at all hospitals. In-person nurses will video conference with an on-call nurse examiner during a sexual assault exam. Sarah Earhart-Reed is the chief of the health department's Office on Women's Health. She says the nurse examiner will guide the in-person nurse through the process.
Knowing that the provider in the room cares enough to get it right, that they're going to call in extra help, actually makes patients feel like they're being really well taken care of.
Starting next year, every hospital must be able to perform the exams through in-person visits or through video conferencing. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis City SC has fired its sporting director. Lutz Fahnenstiel was one of the soccer team's first hires in 2020 to build a roster to start play in 2023. The team had success in its first season, winning the conference and making the playoffs. But last year and this season both saw performances with few wins and no chance at making postseason play. Team president and general manager Diego Gigliani and club technical director John Hackworth will split the sporting director's duties for the rest of the season. The nonprofit Urban Born has been a safe haven for St. Louis area youth for more than a decade, with a mission of combining education and a love for basketball. But the effort is on pause indefinitely after its College Hill building sustained substantial damage during the tornado. St. Louis Public Radio's Marissa Ann Lewis Thompson reports the couple behind the organization is facing a unique problem. The building is also their home.
You see that?
The mold.
Right. Stop that mold.
John L. Langerson is showing me around Urban Born's humid and wet basement as dehumidifiers and industrial-sized fans echo in the background. John L. and his wife Latasha bought the old St. James United Church of Christ campus in St. Louis's College Hill neighborhood back in 2012. They poured thousands of dollars renovating the expansive property and converting it into their home and literacy nonprofit, Urban Born. Middle school-aged kids and their coaches could use their basketball court for free as long as the kids were enrolled in their program. That was before the May 16th tornado swept through St. Louis.
It's devastating, sister. It's devastating. Usually around this time of the year, you know, obviously we would be packed with children.
The echoes of kids yelling and basketballs bouncing has been replaced with construction workers banging away and sealing the new roof with propane blowtorches. The bulk of the original roof was peeled off during the tornado. Latasha made a split-second decision to not wait out the storm at home and pick up their son from school. Less than a half an hour later, Urban Born's gym was hit.
Beams and wood and all of that, so it could have easily have fallen on me.
Their living quarters were damaged, windows were broken, bricks had fallen, the basement was covered in water, the gym looked like a swimming pool.
It's one thing to survive the tornado, but the rebuilding of it, if you have the audacity to not give up and stay, that is even more challenging.
The tornado caused a lot of damage, but the heavy rain, heat, chronic systemic governmental failures, and a building with a gaping hole created even more damage, including buckled hardwood floors and black mold.
So I've already spent a gang of money just to get the place so we can have this, and now I got to spend that money again to get it back.
The Lingerstons have spent roughly $120,000 on the roof and other repairs. It'll take upwards of $230,000 to get the entire place up and running again. Without homeowner's insurance, the couple applied for FEMA aid. An inspector came out, but she wasn't convinced they even lived there.
And we're Black. Who's gonna actually buy all this and live here like this? She couldn't believe it. In fact, she insisted on seeing the kitchen, which is fine. Hey, I thought you went to see the basement.
They even showed her their tax records. She inspected every room, took photos, and filed their paperwork. The Langerstons were repeatedly denied.
Who are you helping? Because we're checking the boxes. You sent representative out, so it's not just our word. So everything being proved that, you know, we're not trying to scam you or anything like that.
St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer says the city cannot distribute individual aid because FEMA will not provide assistance if the city is providing it. Spencer says despite rejections, people should continue to apply. But John L. says waiting is not an option.
Our building is falling down. I don't have the luxury to spend hours. And I call FEMA and I was on hold. They said I had 2.5 hours wait time. Who can sit around for 2.5 hours? I don't have that kind of time.
St. Louis Public Radio reached out to FEMA on a Friday about the Langerstons' denials. A spokesperson could not give specifics about their application, but sent the Langerstons' case to their team. The following Monday, their status was upgraded to under review.
I just felt like hope was restored, that it's a possibility that the help will come. I hope it just won't be stagnant.
4 days later, the Langerstons' requests for FEMA aid were approved. While they're happy they secured a small win, it's nowhere near enough to fully rebuild. From the College Hill neighborhood, I'm Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Our Jonathan All edited that piece. You can see photos of Urban Bourne's gym at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.